You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL. Coco 99.9.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. St. Augustine famously observed that the human heart is restless until its rest is found in God. That applies not only to individuals, but to cultures, even entire generations. Practically speaking, this restlessness can take many forms, including an unprecedented mental health crisis. A recent and much talked about report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention describes precisely this. As a CDC spokeswoman bluntly stated, quote, young people, especially young women, are in crisis. An article in the New York Times summarized, quote, nearly 3 in 5 teenage girls felt persistent sadness in 2021. 1 in 3 girls seriously considered attempting suicide. Jonathan Haidt, author of the book The Coddling of the American Mind, painted an even starker picture, quote, we're now 11 years into the largest epidemic of adolescent mental illness ever recorded. And the timing of this unprecedented outbreak of anxiety, depression, and other mental health problems, as Haidt points out, corresponds suspiciously to the rise of smartphones and social media apps. This technology led to a culture-wide exchange of what he calls a play-based childhood for what he calls a screen-based childhood. That exchange likely helped create a generation with fragile psyches unable to deal with life's challenges. And one of the reasons that teen girls are especially hard hit in this crisis is that they spend more time on social media platforms and on websites that create social and body anxiety. Using the same set of data, political scientist and pastor Ryan Burge suggests that religious commitment is also another important factor. Those who rarely or never attend religious services suffer worse mental health than those who attend regularly or weekly. Highly religious people are, in fact, more likely than their secular peers to describe themselves as, quote, very happy. One explanation for this is the proven positive social impact of religious belonging, including higher occurrences of stable, loving family relationships. For example, in 2020, the Institute for Family Studies reported that those who attend church regularly are more likely to get married than their non-religious neighbors and less likely to divorce. Still, it's worth considering whether these social benefits of religious commitment have something to do with the belief itself. Does an act of faith in God reduce the impact of mental health crisis on young people? Does a lack of religious faith leave others more vulnerable to it? Though that would be a tough question to answer purely via social science, St. Augustine would say yes. Despite his lack of familiarity with Gen Z, he'd speak of their restless hearts, seeking in politics, gender identity, and self-expression what can only be found in a relationship with our Maker. In the face of Gen Z's mental health crisis, it is the gospel, not gloom, that should motivate and inform us. Well, God has indeed made us for Himself. The kind of postmodern individualism that Gen Z was raised with will never be able to deliver on the promises made. This mental health crisis is at root a spiritual crisis. And we have the opportunity to introduce this generation of restless hearts to the one, the only one, able to deliver on His promises to bring rest to their souls. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Shane Morris. And for more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to ColsonCenter.org.
The Colson Fellows Program equips Christians with a cultural hermeneutic, teaching you how to interpret today's culture through the lens of the Christian worldview so you can respond with courage, clarity, and confidence. Apply today at ColsonFellows.org. That's ColsonFellows.org.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And that's how we, you and I, must live. Begin to live like that, we'll understand more and more of what it means to be a man, a woman, a teenager, a young person who is in Christ. And we'll move out of the shallow water, we'll move into waters that we can swim in, and we'll begin to make a difference in this day and this age and this time.
The truth is, living a holy life is the most natural thing for a believer in Christ. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Holiness. He'll open God's Word to share what it means to be free from the law so you can live for something much greater. Stay with us. The Winning Walk is coming right up. Before we get to today's message, we want to send you a special resource to help you find comfort in Jesus Christ no matter what life throws your way. It's Dr. Young's four-message collection, Comfort in Times of Trouble. These messages from Dr. Young's teaching on Romans chapter 8 will encourage you that God is using the troubles you face to do something incredible in your life. We'll send you Comfort in Times of Trouble as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Holiness Part 2.
And here he puts it all together. He starts in Romans chapter number 7. He says, you know, those things I want to do, I end up not doing them. And those things I don't want to do, I end up doing them. And you see, he is still thinking at this period of his life, as Paul confesses, as an Old Testament person, he's an Old Testament Christian. You run into those all the time. Are you a Christian? Oh, yes. Well, how do you know you're a Christian? If God would ask you, why should I let you into my heaven if you died, what would you say? Well, I did a lot of good things, you know. I helped people and I went to church. And we recite all these things as if that's going to impress God Almighty. As if, boy, that's how I'm going to get there. You can hammer this, and I have for 40-plus years, and some income poop who is absolutely still in the baby pool of Christianity. Say, well, I'm going to try harder to be a Christian, Pastor. Quit trying. That's not what it's all about. There's no law keeping involved. We've already discovered, if we've read a little bit in Romans chapter 6, it's by grace. It's by grace. You say, well, that gives me a license. We'll see about that. So we come to Romans chapter number 8. Before we get there, Paul says, now he's a Christian, he said, I am still involved in a life that is lived like I don't have my thumbs and my toes. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Boy, that word wretched, whew, that's nauseating. He says, I am wretched. He said, who in the world will deliver me from this hypocrisy, this sin, this shame, this disgrace? Who will deliver me? Then he says, thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Okay, that's a great answer. How does it work? Used to drive around the country. I don't see it anymore. You'd see signs up saying, Jesus is the answer. Oh, yes. How is he the answer? How does it work? How does it function? Is it just piousity? Oh, Jesus is the answer. Okay. Tell me how that answer is incorporated into your life and in my life. Paul tells us. Romans chapter 8, we've already looked at one verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that verse is what the Bible is all about. That verse is what Romans is all about. Jesus is the answer. Why is he the answer? Because in Jesus Christ there is no condemnation. Remember, we've already established the fact that somebody whines and says, I just want a God of love, not a God of wrath. Because God is a God of love. He is a God of wrath. And he cannot overlook and neglect and just pass over and forget all the garbage that collects in your life and in my life. No. It doesn't work like that. So Jesus Christ, he says there's no condemnation for those who are what? What is the first thing? Those who are in Christ. Underline that. Put a star by it. 164 times in the writings of Paul in the Bible, he mentions the phrase, in Christ Jesus, in our Lord. You think that's important? And then he develops it. I haven't even gotten to the scripture yet for today. This is just the introduction. Look at verse number 2. It tells us how we are set free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Look here, we already are in prison. In the law of my mind, making a prisoner of sin, which is in my members. In other words, he's saying my mind, man, I'm right with God, but in my flesh, I get all mixed up. And he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and the law of death. Here's that battle, is it not? Here's the flesh, here's the spirit, here's the mind, here's the body, here's that cross pull that goes on. He said, what will set us free from this garbage, this sin? I thought about, you remember a few years back, there was this garbage barge out of Insulet, New York, that some Don or some mafia person had, they'd had too much garbage to take care of in New York. This is physical garbage, they got the other two. And so do we. Hold on. Remember they put it on the barge and this mafioso had the idea, and he made a deal with people in Louisiana, of all states, goodness, that they would take that garbage because they'd run all their fields were full, they had no place to put it, so they had tons and tons of garbage on a barge, and they sailed down the Atlantic coast, and he had a deal, he thought, with some wonderful people in Louisiana, and they would take a marsh there, and they'd dump all this New York garbage in the marsh, and it would produce methane gas, which it will, it's done all around the world, and they would split the profits. So they loaded all this excessive New York garbage. They went all the way down the Atlantic, but got down to Louisiana, and the negotiation wasn't complete, so they didn't do it. So they went to the coast of North Carolina, and boy, the stench went up, and they didn't do it there. And they went island after island, place after place, spent over $1 million carrying around a barge of garbage, went over 6,000 miles, and they took it all the way back to New York. What happens to the trash in your life and in my life? What happens there? Have a beautiful picture of it, what happens. We are set free because we become men and women in Christ. And what sets us free? It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. Here's another law. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, when we go through salvation, we go through these experiences, understanding what we have. Built in you and me is a new life. Remember we talked about how physical birth takes place? Remember then we talked about spiritual birth takes place? And we come through that. With that, we have the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, but we don't use it. We don't provide for it. We don't truly understand how it functions and let the Holy Spirit of God function in us and in everything we do. There's a resource of power there that will set us free from all the trash that accumulates in our life. And then look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, by the way, it tells what the law could not do. The law cannot save you, keeping rules cannot get you to heaven. What the law cannot do. You see, we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're not only forgiven, that's great, but also we're empowered. That's the Holy Spirit power. To operate in us, to keep us clean, to keep us right, so we can march and make our way from the baby pool all the way to the temple where there's waters to swim in. You see it? It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. The law, the spirit of life in Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit, has set you free from the law of sin and death. We're free. That's liberty in Christ. And look, it asks for what the law could not do. Why could not the law do this? It's weak. We're all weak. Nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. Nobody has ever kept all the Ten Commandments. If you say, well, you know, last time I checked them, I was doing pretty good. Well, read Beatitudes, and then Jesus says, if you have thought and have hatred in your heart toward anybody, bang, raka, it's as if you killed them. So motive is there. And if the Ten Commandments didn't get you, I guarantee you the Beatitudes in 5, 6, 7 will take care of you. So we can't keep the law. We can't do it. It's impossible because it's weak. But look what God did. God, he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, Jesus came to take care of the garbage in your life and in my life, and the penalty, the condemnation that you and I deserve for breaking the law, and we were born lawbreakers. Therefore, Jesus Christ became an offering. For God gave his son as an offering. And that's what God did for us to free us up. He gave that offering for us. Because we were trying to keep all the rules. Remember last fall it was in Brazil when it rained and rained and rained and rained, almost like they experienced even more than they had in the part of Louisiana. It rained in Brazil, all over Brazil, for weeks and weeks and months. And finally on Christmas Eve, they tried to use those dams to keep the water back, and they built things. But on Christmas Eve, those dams exploded and water just surged all through houses and village and really devastated much of Brazil. You see, those dams were there like the law. Here we are living as if we don't have any thumbs or big toes, and we're trying to keep the law, and we're wading around. We make good judgment about things. And the law are like those dams or guardrails. And when those go down, man, there's devastation and destruction. But God came in Jesus Christ and provided a Savior, an answer for life. And then we see it in verse number 4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, what are we trying to, what's our goal here? It's become holy. Oh boy, I'll never make it. No, you won't. I won't either. It's become perfect. No, you won't make it. I won't either. But look what happened. What God did. When God gave Jesus Christ, who was perfect, and he was putting the offering plate there on the cross, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. What's the requirement of the law? Perfection. How's that working for you? I've already said it doesn't work. But look what happened. Jesus came and he filled you up and filled me up with the righteousness of God. That's a big old word. With the perfection of God, which makes us acceptable to him. Therefore, we go through God not as people who've been messed up with our thumbs and our toes, but it has been filled up in us. God has poured righteousness into you and righteousness into me. Therefore, we go to God boldly and confidently because we are sons and daughters. You have children. They may rebuke you. You may not have a good relationship with them, but they're still your kids, right? They're still your kids. We may be out of a relationship. Out of fellowship, no. Out of fellowship with our kids, but never out of relationship with our kids, because their blood is our blood. And that's what he's saying. That's the reason we say, hey, You can just go and you have a license. Whatever you do, you're forgiven. Whatever you do right now, you're forgiven. Well, that's privilege. That doesn't make any sense. I'm a Christian and here's somebody who does this. No, you can do anything you want to do if you're a true Christian, if you're in Christ. Freedom. Oh, man, I like this religion. You know what the difference is? Now we're in the family and we have new desires if you're in Christ. New desires. And if you're in Christ, you have a new walk if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ. And therefore, that which I desired, I no longer desire. I may bounce into there sometime, but boy, I don't stay because that's not who I am and that's not who you are. We let the Spirit begin to work in our life. You see how it works? And when you walk, you better have your big toes if you're going to walk, folks. You better have your thumbs if you're going to grasp anything in this life. By the way, Christmas Day in Brazil, Christmas Day, there was a fisherman who'd lost everything, but he got his little boat. That was all he had left. And he went around an area in Brazil and he saved 121 families, over 200 people. He worked straight for 37 hours. Salvation came. God has brought salvation to us in that we tried to keep all those rules and regulations, but the dams are down, the guardrails are off, but Jesus comes and he saves us. If you're in the middle Atlantic Ocean, and you're in the middle Atlantic Ocean by yourself, if you can't swim, guess what? You're gonna drown. If you're in the middle Atlantic Ocean and you're a pretty good swimmer like I am, you'll stay up a while longer, maybe. Or if you're in the middle Atlantic Ocean and you are an Olympic long distance champion, you're still going to ground. What do you need? A savior. Somebody to come and take you out. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us on that cross. He took all of our garbage there. He took it on himself. He took all of our judgment and all of our condemnation upon himself. And therefore, you and I are set free because we have a new desire. If there's still those pagan desires, those lustful desires there in your life, you better check whether or not you're in Christ, because he makes brand people. And whether or not your walk is with him, you better check whether or not you're in Christ. I didn't intend to say this, but I am. I meet a lot of people, run into a lot of situations, my vocation. I watch television somewhat. If you got a number on your back, I might see you. If you don't, news, I'd probably see you. You know what breaks my heart? In individuals, in our culture, in our city, in our world, if you and I and those servants in every walk of life, the commercial world, the political world, the medical world, the educational world, would simply let Jesus Christ come in their life. Let Jesus Christ come in their life. They'd get new thumbs. They'd be able to grasp things that seems to be beyond their grasp. They would get new big toes and they'd be able to walk in ways we can't even imagine. But yet, we live in the flesh. That's what we see. It is mind-boggling. I could never understand how ISIS, when they were running roughshod over much of the Middle East, were just killing, beheading Christians left and right. I said, you know, of all people who are Christians, why? What they accept, they love, they forgive, they serve, they reach out to anybody, everybody, anywhere, anytime, regardless of any other consideration, and they're the one that evil went after wholesale. Why? It's because the power and the witness of Christ is diametrically opposed to evil, any shape, fashion, maybe objectively, maybe subjectively, but that's who we are. That's what we must do. And that's how we, you and I, must live. Begin to live like that, we'll understand more and more of what it means to be a man, a woman, a teenager, a young person who is in Christ. And we'll move out of the shallow water, we'll move into waters that we can swim in, and we begin to make a difference in this day and this age and this time.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, the Bible explains the struggle to walk in holiness as a battle between flesh and spirit. Can you explain what that means?
We always have a battle to walk in holiness. That's just part of being human. Somebody says, well, I'm free of sin. No, it's a constant battle. And we discover where maybe 20 years ago, this was a serious sin. Now we see sin is very subtle. And so the flesh keeps coming at us. And we can't do business with God, and God can't really bless our life until we have that cleansing, that holiness before God. So it's a constant thing we do. That's the reason we spend time with God in the morning. That's the time we pray. That's the reason we seek His face. We're growing and growing and growing, and we discover as we grow in Christ, boy, there's freedom and there's wonder. I mentioned this past week, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, if you don't know the truth, therefore you know that which is not true. And if we live on the basis of that which is not true, that which is a lie, we're not set free. We're back in captivity. So this is true of the Christian life, and we begin to discover, hey, as a member of God's family, the Holy Spirit gives me the power to live a victorious life. I need to use that power, and if I stumble back into the flesh, it's magnificent. He cleanses us and tells us, get up, go, and sin no more.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you find comfort in God's promises, no matter what challenges life throws your way, by sending you comfort in times of trouble. This four-message collection from Dr. Young's series on Romans chapter 8 will encourage you that God is using the troubles you face to do something incredible in your life. So call now to request Comfort in Times of Trouble as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for tuning in today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Ed Young tells you the key to living your life like Jesus.
Listen, son, I know you want to know if your mom and I ever shacked up. We shacked up for a minute, but in our days, we wanted to get married. That was the godly thing to do. But nowadays, young people, they shack up and they do a lot of things. But I believe that when you get married, you make a commitment to that person. For better or worse, rich or poor, until death do us part. This is what I told your mom, son.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9
FM. It's hard to rise if you haven't died first.
Dr. Tony Evans says before God sets us free from discouragement, we need to learn the lessons trials can teach us.
We want to skip those passages that talk about the struggle and the trial and the pain and the pressure and the brokenness that God often requires before he brings about the glory.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Christ died to give us freedom, but there are things that can keep us from feeling or acting like we're really free. Let's join Dr. Evans as he talks about one of the biggest barriers to our spiritual freedom and what we can do about it.
Many people are living under a cloudy sky. Every day is overcast and foggy. Just won't go away. And even when it's not raining, it looks like it's getting ready to rain on your parade. And you are operating in discouragement. Discouragement leads to depression. Depression long enough leads to despair. Despair long enough can even lead to death. All because you were discouraged and you were on a train with no light at the end of the tunnel. Or the only light that was there was that of an oncoming train. So I want to talk to you about discouragement. I'm not talking about momentary discouragement. We all have moments of discouragement. But I'm talking about where that has become more of the norm rather than the exception. In Luke 24, we have two disciples who are on the Emmaus Road. The crucifixion has taken place, and they're on their 7-mile walk back home to Emmaus from Jerusalem, verse 13 tells us. They were discussing the weekend. They were discussing what had taken place on this crucifixion weekend. And while they were trying to figure stuff out, while they were trying to make sense of the illegal trials that had led up to the death of Christ, the crucifixion, the nature of the crucifixion, when they were trying to make sense, like Marvin Gaye, of what's going on, while they were trying to figure this thing out, it says, Jesus himself, verse 15, approached and began traveling with them. So Jesus kind of shows up and starts walking beside them. Of course, this is after his resurrection from the dead. He shows up and walks with them, but according to verse 16, their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Jesus was right there, but they didn't know it. They were discussing the person who was right in their midst, but they had blinders on. So he was there, but they couldn't see him, or they couldn't recognize him. Jesus asked them in verse 17 the question, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still looking sad. They were discouraged. They were looking like they were feeling sad. Sometimes you can camouflage discouragement because you can look glad and be sad. But if it's bad enough and it's been there long enough, it's written all over your face. You don't have to say a word. It says they were looking sad. It was evident that something was graphically wrong. So the problem that we are finding here is that these are sad people. These are discouraged people. And what exactly was discouraging them? They go talking about this man Jesus and all that he could do, and he did all these miracles. Verse 19, he was mighty in word and deed. Well, what's wrong? Verse 21, we were hoping.
that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. You know why we're sad? Our hopes have been dashed. Our dreams have been destroyed. Our hearts have been broken. Anybody ever had hope gone bad? Especially when you were hoping in Jesus. It says, we were hoping that he would redeem Israel. We were hoping that we finally found the answer to our incarceration, because they wanted to be redeemed from Roman rule. They wanted to be set free. And we thought this Jesus, this mighty man of God, was going to set us free, and here he got crucified. The one we were banking on to deliver us. They were discouraged because hope was gone. Hope was gone. And isn't that what discourages us? When we were looking forward to something that didn't happen? When we expected something that didn't take place? When things go in reverse, when we thought finally there was light at the end of the tunnel and there was going to be some freedom, some deliverance, some release, something new was going to happen, something better was going to work out, it was going to be a new day, and then it gets dashed. And then the discouragement is worse when you thought God was going to fix it. Because they said, we thought he. We thought Jesus was going to turn this thing around. And they go on to describe the fact that we went to the tomb and it's the third day, and verse 22, women went, they did not find his body. Some of those, verse 24, with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. Now they're talking to Jesus, but they say we can't find him. Stay with me here, we're going somewhere. They're talking to Jesus and telling Jesus we can't find Jesus. You ain't listening. They are telling Jesus we can't find you. They are frustrated, they are discouraged, actually, they didn't know who they were talking to, but they are discouraged. They're looking sad because it looks like their dreams are gone. Why were they prevented from recognizing him? Verse 25 tells us, "Oh, foolish men," Jesus says, "for them he's a stranger," but we know who he is, "and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." He says, foolish men. So you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and still be foolish. Because these are two of his disciples. In fact, it's probably Jesus' uncle and aunt. John 19, verse 25, talks about a man named Cleopas who was there at the crucifixion with his wife, and his wife was the sister of Mary, Jesus' mother. So this is Jesus' uncle and aunt. He says, "Oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things in order to enter into his glory?" It'd be easy to read over that and miss the point. He says, you're not believing what you're reading. Or you are reading the Bible selectively. Because he says, "Oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." Most of us like some of the Bible. Especially all those passages that talks about blessing. And all God can do, and he's a way maker. All those fancy things, spicy things, nice things, encouraging things, and promises. But that's not all the prophets have spoken. Because he says the prophets have also spoken, verse 26, was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things to enter into his glory? He says, if you were paying attention to all that the prophets had spoken, you would have known that before Jesus could enter his glory, he had to go through his pain. Now, we want to skip those passages that talk about the struggle and the trial and the pain and the pressure and the brokenness that God often requires before he brings about the glory. We will show up for a glory message, but not for a suffering message. We'll show up for, I've been blessed. We don't want to show up for my responsibility prior to the blessing. He says, you got to take this whole package. And I know you wanted Jesus to deliver you. I know you wanted Jesus to redeem you. I know you wanted Jesus to do some spectacular things, to pay your bills, to turn things around. I know you want Jesus for that. And that's some of what the prophets talk about. But he says, you got to take all, and all includes the negative things Jesus had to go through prior to the glory.
But why does God allow us to experience the negatives in life? We'll find out in a moment when Dr. Evans continues this message from his new compilation, Get Back What Satan Has Stolen From You. These eight lessons cover ways to identify and overcome the various schemes Satan uses to steal from us spiritually and emotionally, and provides guidance on how to reclaim what's been lost, restoring your life to God's intended purpose. If you contact us right away, the full-length versions of these messages are yours on CD or downloadable MP3, along with our thanks when you make a contribution in support of the Ministry of the Alternative. And right now, we'll also include a special bonus. Two of Tony's helpful and popular books, 30 Days to Overcoming Emotional Strongholds and 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior. To request your copy of this special resource bundle, visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. This is a limited time offer, so visit us as soon as you can. Again, that's tonyevans.org or by phone 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message right after this.
When prices go up, it's easy to get down. That's why the Tony Evans Training Center wants to lift your spirits. We're lowering our monthly fee. Take it from Danny, a TETC user. Danny says, I listen to every sermon and watch every video that Dr. Evans posts. He is changing the world one person at a time. Engage in over 50 courses with thoughtful content from Dr. Tony Evans. Visit TonyEvansTraining.org to subscribe today.
Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says that God let us get nigh unto death, so that he might show us what it is like when he raises the dead. He let me get low so that when I got resurrected, nobody could get credit for that but God. It's hard to rise if you haven't died first. The Bible includes the suffering. It includes the negative. We don't like to talk about it. Nobody prefers to experience that. I understand, but it's not the whole counsel of God if you skip it. He says you have a selective use of the Bible, and that's why you're depressed. That's why you're sad. That's why you can't see me. You can't see me because you don't understand the whole story. So what does Jesus do? Verse 27. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. You are depressed, discouraged, because your hope has been blown. But your hope has been blown because you don't have all the information. He then takes the Bible, the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, because they don't have a New Testament yet. And he explains to them from Moses and the prophets all the things concerning himself in the scriptures. So Jesus talks about Jesus without a New Testament, because there is no New Testament. He is the New Testament. Jesus goes all the way back to Moses. That means the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Moses wrote those. He goes all the way back to the first five books of the Bible and start talking about Jesus. This is the key to Bible study. The key to Bible reading and Bible study is look for Jesus. Even when you're not reading about Jesus, you're reading about Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He says, but you look for Jesus. Jesus is in the Old Testament concealed, but in the New Testament revealed. We know clearly who Jesus is in the New Testament, but Jesus is explaining to them who Jesus is in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament was written with Jesus in mind. So he is going. Now, this is 7 miles. We're told in verse 13, this is a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. 7 miles. Well, if you're having Bible study, that means you're not walking but so fast. Because you're having Bible study. This is not speed walking. This is Bible study walking. So that's a slower pace. So let's guesstimate 30 minutes a mile. Okay, this is a 3.5-hour walk. 3.5-hour walk to make this 7-mile trip to Emmaus. So this is a 3.5-hour Bible study with Jesus Christ, talking about Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Now, you know, if you can get Jesus in Moses and the prophets, which is basically the way they summarize the whole Old Testament, and you and I have the old and new. Jesus is explaining Jesus from the Bible. Why? Because it is possible to read your Bible and miss Jesus. And if you miss Jesus in your study of the Bible, you've missed the purpose of the Bible. The Bible is God's website. Jesus is his passcode. I don't know if that's right computer-wise, but it sounded right to me. Is that right, brother? Is that close enough? Is that in the vicinity? All right. Jesus is God's passcode to enter in to the internet of his truth so that you and I can make sense of what often seems senseless to us. He says he explained the Old Testament using Jesus. In John 5, verse 39 and 40, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says to the Pharisees, he says, you do always study the scriptures. You folks have Bible study, you go to church, you go to Wednesday night service, you read devotions, and you still don't know me. So Bible study does not necessarily bring you closer to God, and Bible study does not necessarily give you an experience with God. What Bible study will do is give you information about him. But information about him is not the same as a meeting with him. So the reason why we can accumulate Bible knowledge upward while declining spiritually at the same time is because knowledge in and of itself does not necessarily equal experience. He says, because if you would have really understood what you were reading, you would know me. So the fact that you don't know me either means you aren't reading it and don't know it, or you're reading it but you're not understanding it, because then you would see me. You would see me. So he has a 3.5-hour Bible study with them as they are walking along this 7-mile trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus. You can read somebody's resume, but you better have an interview. A resume will get you started. And references are nice, what other folks say about you. But a resume, what's written, references, what other folks think, oh, that's not the same as an interview. You need a face-to-face. Because all of us have had situations where The paper is good, the presence is not. You know what we're missing? We're missing an interview with Jesus. We're not hurting for a resume about Jesus. But that interview with Jesus, I got to tell you what all the prophets say, includes some negatives. It's not all positive. Jesus had to suffer it. There are going to be negative trials and tribulations that you go through toward glory. So he has a Bible study with them, 3.5 hours, verse 28. And they approached the village where they were going, the village called Emmaus. And he acted as though he were going further. So they get to the village, and Jesus basically says, well, it was nice meeting you, nice being with you. Goodbye. He acted as though he was going to keep going. And notice he said he acted. Because what happened next depended upon them. He gave them all the information. And as you'll see in a moment, they were saying amen all the way for three. Imagine a 3.5 hour service and all of it's amen. It's got to be amen if Jesus is the teacher. Ain't no booze in this one. This is from start to finish. This is amen and amen and amen and amen. Because this is Jesus, perfect teacher, teaching a perfect word. And he acted as though he would continue. Information was not the problem. Bible knowledge was now not. They had the rest of the story. But what happened next was dependent upon them. He acted as though he would keep going further. Verse 29. But they urged him, saying, stay with us. Abide, he that continues or abides in my word of John 8. Okay? Stay with us means hang out here for a while. Abide. Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening. The day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. Why? Because that's where he wanted to be. But he only wanted to be there if invited. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, I will come in and fellowship with him. They started with the knowledge of the Bible, but they continued with a personal interview with him. The presence or absence of Jesus determines whether your knowledge of the truth becomes an information session or an experience.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about why we often don't experience the freedom Christ died to give us. Now, if that's something you'd like to explore in more depth, let me suggest you look into getting the full-length copy of today's message. It's called Freedom from Discouragement. In fact, it's part of that special resource offer I mentioned earlier, the 8-message teaching compilation, Get Back What Satan Has Stolen From You, along with the added bonus of 2 of Tony's short but powerful books, 30 Days to Overcoming Emotional Strongholds and 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior. To get the details and make the arrangements, just visit tonyevans.org, make a contribution to the ministry, and let us say thank you by sending these powerful resources your way. Again, that's tonyevans.org or by phone 24/7 at 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, more from Dr. Evans on how to get out from under the burden of discouragement, even when your situation seems hopeless. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W-234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches on FM 94.7.
I can't pray. It's in the atmosphere.
It's in the atmosphere.
Come on, shout it.
Strengthens.